The Profit Express, yeah.
Right. Listen, for me, it's always been the game, and it's the fun part where you get to communicate with other human beings, sometimes significantly smarter than you, sometimes not, mm-hmm. and figuring out how to get along with all of that and get what you need and want out of a situation without rolling over people like they're unimportant.
Right.
And that is something that every entrepreneur or every business owner needs to figure out how to do. Yes, when you start the business, you have to have a good structured business plan, but don't plan it ad nauseum. You can't figure out when you're a startup, you know, exactly what's going to happen 5 years from now on a Thursday. Good luck. If you show me a plan that shows that, I'm in, because I haven't found one that actually that actually works like that. You have to have the resources. That means you have to have the capital to do it. Because if you don't have the capital to do it, whether that's $500 or $500,000, where are you going to get it?
Cash is oxygen in the beginning.
It is. And if either you have it yourself or you get it. And if you get it from somebody else, you might have to give up some of the ownership.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I did. I gave up some of the ownership of my company because I was 22 years old. I knocked on this guy's door. We had a great rapport. I went back to him 6 months later with a dinky spreadsheet that my dad and I made. I still have it. It looks ridiculous, but nevertheless, the guy said, "Oh, this looks great. We're great business. Here's some money." And he literally loaned the company the money. Now, in hindsight, the $80,000 that he lent the business, you know, for a company that sold for a significant multiple of a very, you know, significant revenue.
Sure.
I clearly can't talk about the deal points, but his $80,000 investment, he was probably paid back 250,000 times. So
he made that all right.
Yeah, yeah, but the point is, I wasn't planning on that, but I was, even at a young, dumb age, I realized I don't have the resources to do this myself. If this is going to work, I need to bring in somebody else. And at the beginning years, it was good consult because I could bounce stuff off of this person. But more importantly, it was stabilizing me with a modest paycheck and ability to go out every day and just worry about bringing in the business. Now, Tim, not everybody's a salesperson. You could have a great business idea and be a horrible salesperson, but that means you have to find another way to bring in the revenue,
right.
Whether that's another human being, whether that's a technology way. I know in my industry, we have tried every way from that you can possibly imagine to use Google AdWords to get people to buy our services. Not working. Tried 10 times. If there's somebody listening, call my office because we've not been able to do it. Now you're going to look at me like, that's crazy. Of course, it's Google. People click on it and they buy stuff. Well, you know, I might be good at some things. For some reason, my entire marketing team and outsourced people haven't figured out how to use it. So,
really?
You know, you put
so
up these.
That has not made a significant tick.
Not at all. Zero. It's been a waste of money and time.
Really?
Well, there's a long story to that. But all the big public companies buy up all the important words and they make it impossible. $10 a click for the word payroll. $10 a click, and then people click, and then they don't buy, and then you do the math. It just doesn't work. But my point is, you can have all these plans, and they don't always come to fruition. And you have to have some sort of mechanism in place to have a reserve. You can't always plan for the completely unexpected, Tim. It just happens. You step off the curb, the bus goes by and takes off your left foot. Well, you didn't plan that when you woke up in the morning. But if you were smart, you had insurance. You had life insurance, so your family would be taken care of. You had disability insurance. So there's things we can do when we're small business owners to protect ourselves. What I find is, too many times, the reason the fail rate is so high is because either people don't plan enough or they plan way too much and they stagnate.
They're paralyzed, yeah.
What is it? Paralysis by analysis.
Yep.
I know it's trite and it's been said before, but I've seen it happen in front of my own eyes. Well, if we do this and if we just do this and plan this out and it's going to take us 6 more months and you just got to start doing at some point.
So, but this is interesting. So you start out, you were in your early to mid 20s. Okay. 6 months in, you realize, hey, I connected with this guy. Let me put together a business plan. He says, great business plan. Here's some money to kind of give you some stability. When you're young without the experience, you don't know what you don't know. And that helps you in so many ways. Because you can often like, so here's my question. I'll get to it eventually. I apologize.
I think I know where you're going, but go ahead.
So there you are, you know, 20 years ago, 22 years, whatever it is. You find this guy, obviously it's the right decision for both of you, okay? Now, okay, fast forward, you've got the success that you have. Now you're putting together Associated HCM. How are you making decisions differently now? What have you done differently in the start of Associated HCM?
Well, I think a good way to talk about this is talk about my missteps. Because, you know, if this is going to be valuable for the folks that are listening, you know, just hearing me say all the things that worked, I think would be not as useful. So is it okay if I go into some of the mistakes? I'm not shy about talking about them. So when I exited the other business and I kept some of my top folks, my main goal was that nobody lost their job. And that rarely ever happens in a situation like this.
Yeah.
And that did happen. I negotiated that the buyer would take on everybody that was needed to handle the client load, and that I would keep the remaining of the folks. Okay, and that was my long term goal.
So between 100%. both companies,
yep, everybody kept their job. Not one person beginning lost their job.
Okay, all right.
Fast forward a handful of months, and the mistake that I made was that I kept too many people and didn't realize, even with the math that I had done, that we would have been overstaffed for too long of a period of time, and I would have burnt cash just trying to do the right thing, trying to keep these people employed until the revenue was big enough to be able to take them with the new company.
Yes.
And so subsequently, we had to make some staffing changes, not because the business is doing poorly at all. That's actually not the case. We've got a great staff. Sales are nice. But as a business person, that would be a mistake to continue to burn cash at that level.
You weren't ready for that stage.
No,
yet.
I wasn't. And right. I thought I was. And, you know, I think I should be able to hire some of those people back in the future if they still want to come work with me. I'd welcome them back in a heartbeat. The simple fact of the matter is a little bit of my own ego and your feeling of largesse at the time got in the way of making the right business decision. So I had to make the changes. So my simple point is, you know, you have to stick to some basic business principles. Mm-hmm. I'm not IBM. I'm not Google. I can't just say, well, we'll be profitable in 9 years. It's okay. You know, that's not the way small businesses work,
right,
unless you want to burn through cash. And listen, no matter how much money I made or my partner made at the sale of the business, it doesn't mean it's an endless wallet to keep spending on an endeavor. You have to still treat it like you were broke.
Exactly.
And that's the mistake that I made. So handle the money
so
with
kid
gloves.
So you're looking at more emotionally because of these people.
I was. And other people will say, well, Rob, you did the right thing. Then what happened is when you let folks go, when you said you were going to do your best not to, and then you do, it looks like you reneged on a promise.
Yeah.
Well, here's the moral to that story. You can't help, as a business owner, as a human being, how somebody else feels. It's either they understand.
Wait, say that one again. That's really important.
You as a human being can't help how somebody else feels about a situation.
Right.
Whether people practically know it was the right thing to do, when you're the one being let go, you don't feel that way. And your coworkers
sure.
who like these people and other. There's not a business owner friend that I know that hasn't had to let people go for certain reasons.
It's the reality of business.
It's the worst part about it. So, you know, that was probably the biggest mistake I made at the beginning. And if that can stop someone from making that decision, I'm not saying that, you know, you shouldn't do it or shouldn't attempt to do what I do, but you'll probably find out the same inevitable fact that I did, that once your business head takes over, you realize that it's just not a tenable solution, and it's not the right choice to make for any of your stakeholders. And the stakeholders are the people that are currently working there that you want to be there for the next 20 years. So, you know, just use your money wisely. Be very careful about how you spend your resources. So that Google Ads campaign, yeah, I didn't spend $50,000. I spent some money because I realized that it was a long shot to begin with. It doesn't mean you shouldn't try things. It doesn't mean you shouldn't attempt to divert resources to things that you think are going to work. But at some point, you have to say uncle.
You look at risk differently now?
I do. And here's the funny thing about that. I'm actually probably a little more risk averse than I was the first time. And you know why? Because I realize how absolutely clueless I was at 22, 23, 24, 25, probably 30 years old.
Right.
And now looking back, how incredibly hard it was to get to the point that we got to. And I was never frivolous, but I probably made pretty bad choices at the very beginning. And now I'm a lot more practical when it comes to the choices with how we spend the revenue and the money that we're investing in the company.
This is the Profit Express, 88.7 FM, WRHU. Today's guest in the studio with me live is Rob Basso. And you're listening. You are the entrepreneur, small business owner. You're sitting on a dream of opening up your own business. This is just a great chat, a great conversation.
All we need is a fireplace.
This is sharing real life because, you know, you're somebody who did it. You start out very, very early on. You were a salesman who was abused and underappreciated, and that gave you the impetus to, hey, I'm going to, you know, screw you. I'm going to do this on my own, right? Which is often the incentive that we need. Post the successful sale of Advantage Payroll earlier this year, now you're making some decisions differently. But now, of course, as a founder and CEO of Associated HCM, these are the kind of conversations that the Profit Express likes to offer up, because there's people who are listening who you can read books all day long. You can listen to the pundits, but it's somebody who is done it and doing it. That to me matters, you know? So again, thanks for being on board. Now, we're not done with you. You're not going anywhere. So sit tight. Now the tough questions go.
Great.
Now the tough questions go. So, biggest success so far. One biggest success so far.
In the new business or
anywhere.
Just in general.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we have to keep this to business success. Okay. I would say it would have to be the successful sale of my half of my life's adult work.
Right.
And a very, very important event. And it, even though it worked out well financially, we talked about it earlier. If you had asked me the day after it happened, I don't know if I would have said it was the most successful thing. But I would say that's what most business owners end up wanting to do. At some point, they work really hard and they want to monetize the business, whether that's a CPA firm, an older gentleman or woman sailing off into the sunset and, you know, cutting their workload down. And whatever industry you're in, at some point, you're generally self-employed to have some sort of exit. It's just when that exit is vitally important.
The day after, did you have seller's remorse?
I don't think I had seller's remorse. I think I had a pit in my stomach. I don't think it was remorse. I think what it was, Tim, again, was sadness. And that's like we talked about a little bit earlier. That's just the reality of it. But success, yes, it was an extreme success, and I'll be proud of that forever. I mean, there's a lot more to the story.
Yeah.
I mean, there was five other independent owners that used the same software, and I negotiated the deal for the entire system. So it wasn't just my company that I was asked to negotiate for. There was five other ladies and gentlemen that asked me to do the negotiating for them to this big public company. So it wasn't just my life on the line. It was all their lives and all their families and all their employees. So for me,
personally, a little more backstory then. Yeah.
So for me personally, it was incredibly gratifying because everybody that was involved in the sale was extremely happy with the outcome and energy and effort that I put into making it work for all of us. And, you know, I had to make some compromises in how that was done. But one of them is now a new business partner of mine. I started another office up in Boston, an Associated HCM up in Boston. We just launched the office about 2 months ago. And he's a rock star in Boston, like we were rock stars here in New York, and we're killing it up there in Beantown.
And he's up in that market, right?
Yeah.
That's his market.
Yeah, we've already got people and salespeople and operations.
Nice.
And it's so, you know, Tim, you and I could talk forever about the intricacies of the deal, the stuff that I'm allowed to talk about, but, you know, that was probably the biggest prideful moment. So I'll take back it was the actual sale. I'm going to take my original answer back now that I'm talking.
No backsies. No, you can't do it.
I'm doing it anyway. It was no. knowing that I did it for not just myself but some other
but the
people.
Group the yeah. other the other individuals.
Yep.
Let's go on something completely different. Are you a fan of I'm a big fan. You know, the TED Talks.
Yeah.
There's tons of great stuff out there. Tons of prolific thinkers out there. You know, the Simon Sinek, which I'm sure you've heard.
Ooh, can we do a TED Talk together, Tim? I can't. I don't know what the topic would be. Maybe Sam can help us. Sam's the engineer. Sam, what do you think?
Is the stage big enough for the two of us?
Not our heads, anyway.
No, absolutely not. What thought leader out there today? I mean, I just sit throughout Simon Sinek. You know, you have Gary Vee, blah, blah, blah. Which is one that maybe you're just interested in, you like, the message resonates with you?
Okay. I don't know that he is a thought leader that's done TED Talks, but he did write a book called How to Negotiate If Your Life Depended on It, and his name is Chris Voss, and he was an FBI hostage negotiator. And the book is brilliant. It's very simple, very easy to read. But the stories he tells about rescuing people's lives that were kidnapped, and it translated into business, life, your marriage, your kids, everything you can think of, these techniques that he built together with the FBI and Harvard University. Very interesting guy. So anybody who wants to have better relationships and get what they want out of a situation should read Chris Voss's book. So
wow,
yeah, I I've read it several times, and I just picked it up recently. Another guy, Steve Covey Jr., he wrote a book called The Speed of Trust, and I gave it out to all my staff, and it's all about how transactions are sped up when you trust somebody. When you go to McDonald's, you know that the burger is going to be just like this.
Right,
so you
don't have
to think about it. The money changes hands. The burger comes out. It's not even a thought. When Tim calls me and says, Rob, do you want to be on the show? I need you here at such and such time. He doesn't worry, oh my God, is Rob going to show up? Is he going to be 20 minutes late? Is he going to be prepared?
Right.
He just knows because he trusts me and I trust him. And this gentleman, Steve Covey Jr., just tells an incredible story. And it's a pretty weighty book about how trust will significantly enhance your relationship with your clients, with your coworkers, and with your family. So I would recommend both of those guys, someone to look out for.
I love. What was one of the first one, the FBI guy, Chris Voss?
Chris Voss, V-O-S-S.
Excellent. Quick break. Rob, don't go anywhere. Profit Express, 88.7 FM, WRGU.
Now back to the Profit Express on 88.7 FM, WRHU. Once again, here is your host, Tim Healy.
Well, hello and welcome back to the Profit Express. I'm Tim Healy. Thank you for listening. And if you have been listening, the conversation has been fantastic. I've been talking to a local business success story, Rob Basso, who is currently the CEO and founder of Associated HCM. And he had recently sold a company started 20 years ago, Advantage Payroll Services, back earlier in 2018. And I wanted him on because you're listening, you're a startup yourself. Maybe you're in the dream idea stages of a startup. We all need help. You need help. We can't act as an isolated island. So it's been an enjoyable conversation about some of the do's and don'ts and the lessons learned on the 20-year journey, the journey that continues, obviously. What do you think? I'm just going to throw another question. It could be a little controversial since we're at WRHU Radio Hofstra University, of which you're an alum. Is school failing entrepreneurs? I'm throwing one out of left field, pal.
I know. But the dead air was for on purpose. listen, I know a lot of schools have started entrepreneurial programs, courses, courseworks for entrepreneurs, and I think that is a massive start. And I think it's definitely going in the right direction in my mind. But I think traditional business school, and this, I only have a perspective from back when I was in school and from my friends that, you know, went to specific business schools where they were not really taught the tools that they needed to be successful in the entrepreneurial world. My hope is that fine universities like Hofstra and others in the region put tremendous effort. As a matter of fact, there's another school in the area that I got asked to speak at a few times. I got to speak to the entrepreneurial students, the juniors and seniors. And I'll tell you, Tim, what I found was I talked like we're talking now. I told them stories about what it was like and what to expect. And I had a line of 20 kids waiting to talk to me afterwards with more questions.
Yeah.
Some of them were really good questions.
Sure.
Like, well, what about this? What about that? And some of them weren't. And
you got them thinking.
But that was the point. And I think more universities need to do more of that. Not just me, other people from all walks of life, male, female, young, old,
right.
talk about their failures. I probably spend half the time talking about the things that I did poorly.
Right.
And listen, I can't pretend to know what Hofstra or other universities are specifically teaching in these entrepreneurial classes. I don't know that you can teach drive and motivation. And, you know, you can be taught some skills. You can be taught how to read a spreadsheet, how to put a business plan together. But
that's the mechanics of it.
That's mechanics. I didn't know any of that when I started the business. Yeah. I figured it all out. Right. Now I think I'm pretty darn good at it. But I had the drive and motivation. But it's not enough. The drive and motivation isn't enough without a clear path to victory.
Here's another question. They're just coming to me tonight, Rob. What do you think? You said you couldn't teach motivation. You're right. What do you think is more important, confidence or motivation? What would, if you had to take one or the two?
You're really going to make me choose? I would say that motivation is more important because, you know, that's what gets you up in the morning. You know, your confidence is important. It would be a close two in my book. I mean, I think you can't separate the two. If I was forced to pick, it would be getting up and being motivated every single day. I can't tell you how many days, and I'm sure you feel this way, where you did not want to get up and do whatever, but you got yourself out of bed. You went and you did it, and you put a smile on your face, and you closed the deal.
You didn't want to go to another networking event.
Oh, my God.
Another breakfast.
The first decade, the first 6 years, I think I was out four or five nights a week.
Yeah.
Working 80, 90, 100. I can't even tell you. So I had to be severely motivated to actually do that. So I go with motivation. I stick with my, my
right.
first answer.
No, it's a good one. It's a good one. Last question. Again, today's guest, Rob Basso, in studio with me today. You listen to The Profit Express at 88.7 FM, WRHU, of course, and he is the founder and CEO of Associated HCM, Human Capital Management. Last one, Rob. Who do you admire in business today?
I'm going to pick somebody that I think that everybody's going to say, oh, well, of course you would pick him. But and I'm going to couch my answer with, yeah, he's a little crazy. But
I like crazy. You know, crazy's good.
Elon Musk is either the biggest shyster in the world or the most innovative, creative human being that's ever walked the face of the earth. And I'm not sure which one it is yet. That's why he intrigues me. Because if he is you know, a shyster in some way, shape, or form, he fooled the entire world, and I give him a tremendous amount of credit. And the truth is, I don't think that's the case. I think that he's a visionary. I think that the things that he's doing are going to change the world.
You think he's a real deal?
I think he's a real deal.
Okay.
And let's just see if the stock moves back up in Tesla. So
awesome. Rob, thanks so much for coming on board today. Awesome conversation.
Thanks, Tim.